Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, y'all. Seven Rounds in Heaven is back. We're brought to you by Sports Drink. While you're in a frenzy about all the NBA action, we're busy hemming and hawing over NFL holdouts and quarterback controversies. It is I, Rob Paul, a.k.a. one of the bag men for Herm Edwards and the boys down in Tempe. And with me, as always, is AJ. Notre Dame should have to join a conference to be eligible for the playoff, Marchese.
I mean, at least they're not going to get a top six seed. I respect that. But no, totally agree. If you're not in a conference, no playoffs for you.
We're talking to you, BYU and Liberty.
Which they will today, both make the playoffs.
Today we're going to go through every team in the NFL's win total and tell you why you should take the over or the under. This is a filler episode. Let's hit it.
Going out to Vegas, gonna set my draft. Gonna set my draft on fire.
Seven
rounds in heaven with my lady. Driving out to Vegas, baby. Looking for a Stingley or Thibodeau. Who's gonna bet it on draft day? Who's gonna wager future picks away? Who's gonna reach for a blue blood lineman? The home team. Let's go seven rounds. Let's go seven rounds together. Let's go seven rounds forever. And that's a song.
AJ, let me tell you something. The future is here, and the future is now, and the future is live audio. You know that. I know that. This podcast is out of date because it's not live. But guess what? If you want to get in on the boom of live audio, head to Locker Room. It's a live audio-only sports talk platform, free to download and to use. Talk to people like AJ, other fans, athletes, and insiders in real time. It's perfect for watch parties, debates, post-game breakdowns, and reacting to breaking news. Share your own experiences on the app. All you need to do is download the Locker Room app, free in the iOS App Store, create a profile, link your Twitter, and join. AJ, how are the nightly Locker Room NHL playoff talks? Are you upset that the Lightning stole a game from the Islanders by having too many men on the ice?
Oh, you know, we're not even there yet. I'm still griping about the CN Tower being lit up in Montreal Canadiens colors. We've been talking about that for a couple days in a row now.
Yeah, that'll probably take you into next season, won't it?
Yeah, at least until August, yeah.
Okay. Good talk. Follow HA's.
It's not a real thing.
Locker room. No. Obviously, the biggest news this week was Herm Edwards, but more importantly, the new proposed college football playoff format is pretty exciting. It isn't a for sure yet. It's 95% likely, put together by the college football playoff committee. It'll be 12 teams. The sixth highest ranked conference champs, so obviously the Power 5 conferences, and then one G5 school. And then six at-large bids, so the next six highest-ranked programs, essentially. The top four conference champs will each get a bye. And then teams 5 to 12 play the first round on home field of the higher-ranked team. So we'll get actually at the schools. We'll get to see big time games, which is pretty exciting. And the quarterfinals and semifinals will be played in bowl games. And then, as always, the national title at a neutral site. And the earliest this can happen is 2023, and the latest is 2026, assuming everything goes smoothly. What's your initial take? You happy? You sad? You excited to see a potential snow playoff game?
I'm a fan of this plan overall. I've always been a proponent of making the playoffs bigger. 12 teams seems good to me. I probably wouldn't go bigger than this now. I'm ecstatic that we get a guaranteed G5/Power 6 program conference champion in there. Like that's awesome. Maybe we get two some years. Maybe we get five some years. I'm really excited about that. I'm honestly shocked that part was kind of included, because it just felt like college football was so ready to tell the G5 to go fuck itself, like they have been. But anyways, I like it a lot. The home field, the first round's going to be really exciting. It's not, like, yeah, the big bowl games have great atmospheres, but it's not like sometimes literally home games for Southern teams. Tired of that. So we finally get some equality for the North here. And I can't wait until like Florida's got to play Wisconsin in the snow. That's going to be great.
Yeah, it's nice that the big time New Year's Six bowl games still hold some importance with the quarterfinals and semifinals, but you also get to mix in these at the home team stadium. In noting that we understand, like, fundamentally bowls are pointless and they're just moneymakers and they don't, deep down, don't really mean anything. But as bowl guys, I love bowl season. To me, March Madness and bowl season are my favorite times of the year. And I don't want to lose them. And yeah, this kind of we will lose some because of this. But I still want the Rose Bowl to be a thing. You know what I mean? Like the Orange Bowl, those historic places, and still getting, in theory, it's different now, but still getting the big game at the Rose Bowl. I think that's important. It's part of college football tradition. And the pageantry of college football is what makes it, I think, so special and different from other sports. So that this still keeps that a part of it.
Yep.
While kind of bringing it into the modern world of how every other major sports league works.
Yeah, I totally agree. And it's almost unfair, like a semifinal game, say, being at Alabama, it seems like,
yes,
later even, seems a little strange to me. But so I definitely think this is a perfect blend. I'm excited to see it. I'm really excited.
And I think the thing with college football is nobody's ever going to be happy. Everyone yeah. wanted to get rid of the BCS for years. We get the playoff, then everyone's unhappy with the 14 playoff. Now we get the 12-team playoff, and there are going to be people that are unhappy with this. There is no perfect solution. This is better than the 14 playoff. The 14 playoff was better than the BCS, in my opinion, at least. And there are flaws in this. Obviously, the top four conference champs getting byes is kind of interesting when you might be able to win the Pac-12 and be the 10th ranked team. And like being ahead of the AAC and, or let, I guess a better example would be more likely like a ACC or Big 12 champ being like ranked 9, but also being ahead of the Pac-12 and the AAC, assuming they're the G5 conference most years. And like that'll get fishy. Notre Dame will never be able to get a bye, which is kind of hilarious.
I love
but
it.
Also has like the prime easy way to get into the playoff every year. But I mean, when it's top 12, you kind of expect Notre Dame to be in there anyway, so we can't really complain. And it gives us, I mean, it makes, when every year we feel like there's six schools that are truly competing for four spots, now we get the guaranteed Cincinnati or UCF, whoever it is that year, in, which makes a high profile G5 job maybe more interesting than some of those schools like a Nebraska that is Power Five, is in the Big Ten, it has tradition, but it's never going to be where it was. It incentivizes coaches to stay at top tier G5 schools. Like, I saw someone make the point that if Josh Heupel knew this was happening, would he have left UCF for Tennessee? Like, yeah, he's getting paid more, but UCF is going to theoretically be able to pay more now that they could be competing for the playoff. Like, there's just so many new factors, and obviously recruiting is a big one too. Like, for a school like SMU that's in a recruiting hotbed in Dallas, now that they can even tell kids that they might be able to play in the playoff, they might be able to keep some four-star talent in Texas home at SMU with that. I don't know. I think it's never going to be perfect, and this is still so much better and cooler and more interesting than it was. So I think anyone who doesn't love this or would rather point out the flaws than the positives would have done that with anything.
Yeah.
No. It wouldn't have mattered what they came up with, because this is still, like, we get 8 new teams making the playoff now. It makes games more exciting. Deep, like, the battle for that, like, 8 to 12 between, like, pretty much, like, most of the top 25 is going to be crazy.
No, yeah, that's really true. And I don't think the conference championships lose value, really. I mean, look, the best thing about college football, every Saturday when we sit down, you're cheering for upsets. So, like, if we ever get that 12 winning a national championship, and I know it's a long shot because we don't see, I mean, sometimes we've seen a 4, but, like, usually, it was, you know, the top 2 teams are kind of, recently at least, they've been kind of smoking the other 2. But the first time we get that 12 upsetting a 5, like, that's, especially if it's a smaller school, that's going to be really awesome. And I think that's what college football is, especially say whoever goes into, who's going to be the 5, like Oregon or whatever, in Autzen Stadium, and it's just bumping, and they go down. Like, that's going to be awesome. Like, that's really cool. So I totally agree with you. And lastly, I'll say this is truly the Power 6 now. It's really cool that the Power 6 is a thing now, baby.
I'm just happy we make it, like, when there's an undefeated G5 school at the end of the season, it matters now.
Yeah. Yep.
And we won't have to take away from kind of their success because they don't actually make a playoff. We now get to see what happens. And yeah, even if they don't do anything, like if a 13-0 Cincinnati gets blown out, it's still so important that they made it.
Totally. Totally. No, for sure. It makes college football so much more, I don't want to use the word even, but it's definitely on a more even playing field.
And it makes the season more important to a lot more teams.
That too, yeah.
Than it was. And it makes it a lot more interesting. Like, the fact that every once in a while we're going to have a school like Indiana who really puts it together for a season or two. And it'll, instead of potentially, I mean, missing out on a New Year's Six Bowl and having to play in, like, the Outback Bowl, which, great, an Outback Bowl win's amazing, but losing in the first round of the playoff is a lot more interesting for a school like Indiana than winning an Outback Bowl.
The first time Rutgers makes the playoffs, it's going to be electric in New Jersey.
2 years from now.
2 years from now.
Oh, that which would be the first year that this is potentially implemented.
Yeah.
Okay, transitioning from something we really love to talk about to something that's just filling time until what? Next week when we finally begin our summer scouting series with the non-FBS players, prospects. We're doing NFL win totals talk today. What do you think, AJ?
This is something I'm truly passionate about. I could care less about the college football playoffs. I really only care about this, Rob.
AJ will be betting each and every one of these.
I feel like a lot of these I'm just going to say, yeah, I don't really like this, but if I had to choose.
That is the, if we ever have a put out merchandise, that's what it will say on the AJ t-shirt you can buy.
Hey, I will say, I went 10-6. I looked it back from last year. I went 10-6 with my over-unders in the NFC last year.
And I went 16-0.
Impressive. What a year for Rob. No one go back and check.
I didn't have to check. I just remembered.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Okay, reminder. The NFL's expanded to 17 regular season games for 2021. And that's why some of the totals seem higher than they regularly would be.
It was hard wrapping my mind around it each time I was looking at a... Like, you know, say like, for example, the Cowboys, 9-5. It's like, but... Like, oh, are they going to be a 10-6? But no, they don't have to be 10-6 anymore. They can be 10-7. Like, it was hard for me to continue. I had to do it for every team as I went through. Like, oh, yeah, they got an extra game.
Yeah, it was messing me up a lot because, again, all the totals are slightly higher than they regularly would mm-hmm. be. And it took me a minute to adjust and then trying to wrap my head around the idea of an 11-7 or 11-6 Buffalo Bills team. That got me confused.
Yeah, it's weird. I still don't like the schedule expanding.
All right, all the totals we're doing are brought to you by BetOnline, who I don't think currently sponsors us, but did at a time. And hey, once you ride with us once, you ride for us for life. Okay, I'll start with the AFC East and the Buffalo Bills, and they're set at at 11. I'm going to take the over. I'm thinking, God, I'm going to say this wrong every time. 12-5. A 12-5 Buffalo Bills team seems realistic based on the continuity in the staff returning. Josh Allen coming off a close to MVP type season.
Mm-hmm.
That wide receiver group being essentially intact. Obviously they lose John Brown, but he wasn't much of a factor last year. They've put more into building that offensive line. The defense should just fundamentally be better because of how they've invested in it. They took two edge rushers with their first two picks. I just think overall, getting to 12 wins, especially in the AFC, where I don't feel totally strongly about anyone outside of the Kansas City Chiefs. I think the Bills are the clear second best team in the AFC right now.
Yeah, I agree. And they went 13-3 last year, so a 2 or 3 game regression with the extra game. I'm gonna keep having to say that. It just doesn't seem likely. And I know like Vegas has to put the number there because you can't really put it at 13. You know what I mean? So look, as it always is, the purpose of any line is to get equal action on both sides, right? But
for context, it's the third highest total in the NFL, behind the Chiefs that are at 12.5 and the Bucs at 11.5.
Yeah, and I mean that makes sense. They were the third best team in the NFL last year.
Yep. Jumping to the Dolphins, set at 9, so 9-8. I'm taking the under. I think it's reasonable to assume there will be bumps in the road with Tua.
Mm-hmm.
That run game, I know running backs are irrelevant, but it's still, there's no solidified running back in that backfield. Obviously, they invested more playmakers, and I don't think they're going to be bad by any stretch. I just think that in a division where you have to assume the Jets will be better, because I can't fathom them being worse, and the Patriots are at least going to be stronger on defense. I think you look at the Dolphins, and they still have some young pieces on the offensive line. I think there's going to be bumps in the road early, and they're going to finish strong. And I think 8-9 is more realistic than 10-7. I mean, the push is definitely worth considering here. And I think they're just 1 year away from really competing for a wild card spot, truly.
Yeah, I think
under Tua's guidance.
Yeah, I think that's fair, where it's like, it's not like they're taking a step back. It's just the way this year goes. I will say that they got an easy schedule. I think this is a genuinely tough one, because on paper, they shouldn't regress. But I can definitely see your line of thinking where, you know, it takes Tua a little time to come on. He just threw 5 picks in practice. He's probably a bust. No, I'm just kidding. But I could see, you know.
He threw 6 touchdowns today. No one reported on that, AJ.
Maybe he does that. Maybe he's going to do that in the season. 5 picks in one game and then 6 touchdowns in the next game. That's Jameis Winston numbers. Yeah, no, I think that's fair. I think that's a tough line, though. I would not touch that one.
I think of all the teams I looked at, that was one of the ones I struggled with the most because I think ultimately they got better. It's just going to take some time for Tua and that offense to truly click.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I like their team a lot, and I think they're definitely trending in the right direction. I just think it's another year away. Jump into the Patriots. Set at 9.5, which I thought among the AFC was kind of the most, Vegas seems to be in on them. I believe because obviously 7 teams make the playoffs now, right? So if you look at it from the perspective of the 7 teams with the highest totals, you get the Chiefs as the top dog, the Bills coming in at number 2, the Ravens and the Browns both at 10.5 apiece, the Colts at 10, and then you have the Titans and the Patriots. So Vegas thinks the Patriots are a playoff team based solely on win totals.
Do you think the Patriots are a playoff team?
No, and I'm taking the under the 9.5 because option 1, Cam Newton. I just can't see Cam staying healthy.
Yeah.
I was all in on him early last year. I love Cam Newton. But the injuries are catching up, and he takes so many hits, and I just can't imagine that he'll stay healthy all year. And option 2 being Mac Jones, I'm not a Mac believer to the point. Like, I don't think Mac Jones is going to be a bad quarterback, but I think his ceiling's Kirk Cousins, and I don't think he's leading the Patriots to the playoffs as a rookie.
Most pro-ready quarterback in the draft, Rob.
And that wide receiver room is, like, stitched together with weird free agent signings, and there's reports Nikhil Harry's going to be cut. And I know they invest in the tight end position in Jonnu Smith and Hunter Henry, but, like, I just – to me, it's strange that their win total is higher than the Dolphins.
Agreed.
I know that they've got guys they spent in free agency – they've got guys coming back off opt-out, specifically Dante Hightower. But I just, like Bill Belichick's going to have to really be in his bag, in my opinion, for them to make the playoffs this year.
No, I agree with you. I don't know who's actually putting money on that unless you're outside of – like, if you're outside the Boston area, I don't know who's going to put money on that. Like, it's on the over specifically. I just – that's such a weird line to me. I think, like, if you drop it down a game, then it gets a lot more interesting. But that 9.5, I'd also take the under all day.
And then finally, I got the Jets. We got them at 6. They brought in Robert Saleh as head coach. They drafted Z-Will as their quarterback. It's a totally different team. Obviously, we've got all the Elijah Moore. I think few rookies are being hyped through the summer as much as Elijah Moore. This team, at bare minimum, is going to be much more exciting to watch, even if they aren't winning games. I'm going to take the push on the 6. That'd be a 6-11 record. I think it is feasible because I think this coaching staff is one of the most interesting that's been put together for a first-year head coach in a while. They've got a cornerstone player in Quinnen Williams up front on that D-line. Corner is a big question. And obviously offensive line's the big question. It's either going to crash and burn quick behind Z-Will, or I think they're just going to be a pleasant surprise. And I still don't see them winning more than 6. I think it's the push or the under, but I'm going to take that push.
I know there's no actual lines for the push, but I wonder what they would actually pay if you could bet it.
I will pay anyone who places a bet personally with me thousands if the Jets hit that push.
Plus thousands if the Jets push. Okay.
Yes.
No, I think that's fair. See, it bugs me that I feel like some of these lines shouldn't be round. Like, they should be
halves. I don't like round number.
Yeah.
It should always be half.
Yeah, I totally agree. But because I wanted to pick some push, and I'm like, I don't know if I should, but I guess I will. No, I kind of feel the same way about the Jets. They're a team that you want to say are going to be scrappy this year, but like six games is a lot. So like I totally agree that like that's their ceiling, but I think they can get there.
Moving to the NFC East, where AJ's got everyone hitting the over.
Yeah, the best division in football. We're watching them on primetime every week. No, let's start with the Dallas Cowboys. Their total is 9.5, which coincidentally was the same as last year. They went 6-10 last year. We know why they did, because Dak got hurt. And I can't believe I'm doing it, but I'm taking the over 9.5. Like, to me, 10-7 seems attainable with a healthy Dak and yep. with a bad division. Like, Mike McCarthy stinks. He does. I don't like him. That defense is still super suspect, but it can't be worse than last year. They still won six games with that shitty defense. And it's, again, you get the extra game, so it's only like a really three-game jump, kind of. And again, healthy Dak, second easiest schedule in the league. I think that plays into this big. That sounds really reasonable to me that they could be 10-7.
I'm with you. I would also take the over. I mean, as long as Dak's healthy, they have the playmakers to pretty much compete, you would think, with the vast majority of NFC teams.
Yeah.
The defense is a total unknown with Dan Quinn taking over. And the O-line obviously has to stay healthy. But, like, on paper, they're, to me, overwhelmingly the favorite for the NFC East.
Yeah, and I was thinking before the show, is there any division with a greater disparity between how much you believe in the top quarterback to the second quarterback?
Well, who is the second quarterback in your eyes?
I knew you were going to ask that, and I don't know.
It's Fitz,
yeah, I guess. Like in the AFC East, Josh Allen to the next guy is a big jump too.
Although the NFC East just has the best collection of backup quarterbacks.
They always do. They always have. They always have.
They know what to do. Jerry's running the whole division. Okay, jump into your Giants.
Yeah, to the New York Giants, baby. This is one I kind of considered a push. Their total 7. They went 6-10 last year. The team is better on paper. We know that. They went out and added in the offseason. Kadarius Toney, suspects start to camp, but they didn't even need him. They signed Kenny Galladay. But it all lies on Daniel Jones, and I'm not sold on Daniel Jones. It also depends on how you feel about Joe Judge. I know there's a lot of Joe Judge fans, kind of. I'm also not sold on him. Another team, the whole NFC East has really soft schedules. So could they just win one more game and go 7-10? Yeah, they could. I'm considering the push, but I'm gonna audible. I'm gonna take the under. It's the Giants. I can't trust them.
I'm with you in taking the under. I think that this is the year we confirm Daniel Jones isn't the answer for the Giants.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know, the whole everything. They've got everything they need around him for weapons wise to succeed.
Yeah.
But the offensive line still has too many questions. The defensively on paper, they're interesting, but every thought I have comes back to Daniel Jones, the offensive line, and I don't know, 7 seems like a lot in a division where I think they're the third best.
Yeah, exactly.
I
think 7 is their ceiling. They could
easily be the fourth.
They could. I think 7 wins is their ceiling. And yeah. If they have a 7.5, I feel really good with the under. I think they're going to be a scrappy 6-11 team. And they're going to be in it every week. And then Daniel Jones is going to fumble, as he always does. Okay, well, we'll move down the Jersey Turnpike to Philadelphia. Their total is 6.5. They went 4-11-1. Obviously, they completely fell apart last year. But do we really think the Eagles are going to be 2 or 3 games better this year? I think like the Giants, the ceiling for them is kind of 6. I think the Giants are the third best team in the division. I think the Eagles probably the fourth. Close between the two, though. It could go back and forth. But I think 6 wins is kind of the ceiling there in Philly. I mean, yeah, sure, Jalen Hurts could come out and hit big, but he's still a question mark. Nick Sirianni could be a smashing success. They have the easiest schedule in the league, but I just don't think it clicks this year. I think they go 6-11. I think that's a solid first year for Nick Sirianni, who I don't have that much faith in, and it's just hard for me to put money on the line saying they're going to win three more games than they did last year. 2.5, whatever the hell it is. I just can't buy that.
Yeah, marrying this completely unknown staff to such an unproven quarterback in Jalen Hurts, to me,
growing pains.
It's hard to justify taking the over 6.5.
Yeah.
And there's still plenty of questions on that defense, in the back seven more specifically.
Yep.
Like for this to hit the over, I think it would all come down to trench play, because they have invested in the trenches, but health has been a big issue on both sides there. So
yeah, definitely. And lastly, but definitely not least, the Washington football team. Their total is 8.5, and they went 7-9 last year. And I think they break 500, and I'm going to take the over. By the way, I really hate that 500 doesn't exist anywhere. That just really rubs me the wrong way. But
I know it's the worst.
Anyways, so I don't. Let's not even start with that.
don't worry, we'll have an 18th game soon enough.
Yeah, that's a good point. But yeah, with that defense, we know it's loaded. It's going to be humming. Ryan Fitzpatrick is better than what they rolled out at quarterback last year. I think they can get 9-8. I think 9-8 is very achievable for this Washington team.
I am with you. I mean, defensively, we've talked about our belief that Jahmin Davis is a prime defensive rookie of the year candidate. That D-line is the best in the league. The back end, they bring in William Jackson. They've got Kendall Fuller in place. They have multiple safeties you can trust. Jump into the offense. The O-line is kind of a question, obviously.
Yeah.
But like you're expecting Antonio Gibson to level up. You've got Terry McLaurin, some actual guys you can trust around him, and Curtis Samuel. Adam Humphries is a safety net, and you draft Diami Brown. Like, there's the wide receiver core has gotten so much better. Logan Thomas should be a Pro Bowler.
There's been a lot of.
As long as.
Go ahead, yeah.
As long as Fitz doesn't just chuck INTs, and I trust Fitz. Again, I think he's second best quarterback in this division. Like, 9 seems reasonable.
There's been multiple teams with not as good defenses and worse offenses who finished like 9-7. You know?
Yeah. I mean,
so 9-8?
They made the playoffs last year.
Even easier. Yeah, exactly. They made the playoffs. 7-9. And again, tougher schedule than the rest of the division, but they get to play the rest of the division. So.
Okay, moving to my AFC North, where we've got the Baltimore Ravens at 10.5, and I'm taking the under.
I knew you were.
For a couple reasons. They haven't proven that Greg Roman is capable of opening up this offense yet.
Mm-hmm.
I need to see it to believe it. I believe in Lamar Jackson, but they've struggled. I know they bring in Rashad Bateman, who we love, but like Hollywood Brown hasn't shown enough yet. Is Sammy Watkins the number two wide receiver? Can we rely on that? And when I say number two wide receiver, I mean after Mark Andrews. The offensive line, they trade Orlando Brown, so they've got some questions, and we already knew they had questions of the interior line.
Mm-hmm.
Then they kind of rely a lot on one of these young / unproven pass rushers to step up, whether it be Away or Bowser. Someone needs to do it. I don't think it's going to be Jalen Ferguson. Like, if Pernell McPhee ends up playing 60% of the snaps on the edges here, that feels like a problem. Obviously, they're like, I still believe, like, I think they're a 10-7 team.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think they're vastly under 10.5. They have one of the best secondaries in the league. They have one of the best quarterbacks in the league. J.K. Dobbins is ready to be a monster. So I just think 10-7 is a realistic bet until they prove they can figure out this passing game more consistently.
Yeah, and I think this is a huge year for Greg Roman and for Lamar Jackson. And
yes.
And not like it's if Lamar doesn't have an amazing year, it means anything. But I'm just saying, for for the next step for this team, it's a huge year because, you know, you're about to, I mean, Harbaugh says the deal's already done. So eventually this franchise is going to be on Lamar Jackson's arms. And as he moves on, less of his legs, right? But they really, I mean, there's been lots of talk about them opening up this passing game. And I think this is the year that they got to show it. And like you said, they drafted Bateman in the first round. The offensive line isn't as good. They really got to show that this passing game can go out and can win games. And again, it's not that I don't believe in Lamar Jackson at all. I'm not saying that. I think they're going to make the leap. I think it's going to work. I think they can get to 11 wins. But I totally understand your hesitancy because there are more questions than there usually are in Baltimore.
Cincinnati Bengals, this team is set at 6.5. I'm taking the under just purely on Zach Taylor. Mm-hmm. I don't think is the guy. If I were to bet on the first coach to be fired, it would be him if he was with almost any other franchise in this situation.
Yeah, agreed.
Joe Burrow's coming off the injury. They made, obviously, they drafted Jamar Chase over Sewell, and I think Jamar Chase is going to be that dude, but that offensive line is still a big, big mystery. They need a couple guys up front to take a step. They need Joe Mixon to stay healthy. There's a lot of health issues with this team. The pass rush should be much better, and I think it's exciting. But there's still big questions at linebacker. They don't have a guy you're really banging the table for at corner. Six seems kind of where they're at. Especially, like, are they that much better than the Jets? Like, I like the Jets coaching staff a lot more.
Yeah.
Maybe I'm wrong there, but I don't know. I don't trust Zach Taylor to be the guy. Whoever comes in next, I think, will win.
Yeah, no, I totally get that. I mean, I think this year they're better than the Jets, but, like, I agree with all your hesitancy there, and I have zero faith in Zach Taylor, and when push comes to shove, like when you're making bets like this, you're looking at the coach and you're looking at the quarterback, right? And if those two things don't both check out, it's hard to bet overs.
Talking about coaches and quarterbacks, Kevin Stefanski turned the Browns around and has Baker Mayfield potentially set up for a long-term contract. They're also at 10.5. I am also taking the under here. That defense to me is the big question. Like, the obviously Odell's gonna be healthy. They've got the best 1-2 punch at running back in the league. The offensive line totally has been rebuilt. And the Stefanski Kubiak zone run scheme is monstrous, and they've got playmakers on offense. There's just a lot up in the air defensively. Other than Myles Garrett and Denzel Ward, I don't know that you have guys that are you consider like primetime playmakers.
Yeah.
They have a young secondary. I love that they signed John Johnson. I think that's gonna be huge. But like, how much is gonna be put on Greg Newsom's plate right away? I love Greg Newsom. I think that was a good pick. Who knows? There's still, outside of Jock, who's a rookie, who I think is clearly your best linebacker, and he's in play a snap in the NFL. Again, I still think they're going to win 10 games and be a playoff team, for the record. I just think the under the 10.5. And I might add that generally, when I'm unsure, I lean to the under.
Yeah, I think that's fair. I think that's kind of... Like, I think they can get to the over. I definitely think that. But I understand that you're, like, when you're not fully confident, you kind of lean to the under. I think that's the way it kind of should be. I see the questions. I think it comes together. I think they get over. I think if I had to put money on it, I'd take the over, but not confidently.
Finally, my Pittsburgh Steelers, AJ, coming in at 8.5. Of course I'm taking the over.
Yeah, of course.
Because if I take the under, that would mean Mike Tomlin has a losing record for the first time in his career.
Whoa.
Whoa is right. He had a non-losing record behind Duck Hodges and Mason Rudolph. Ben Roethlisberger, I mean, it's kind of his last gasp, but they theoretically should have a better running game. They took Najee Harris. They bring back all the primary pass catchers while adding Pat Freiermuth into the mix. The offensive line is a big, big mystery. They're probably starting Chukwuma Okorafor and Zach Banner at tackle and Kendrick Green at center. That's three new starters. But defensively, I think they're primed to be one of the best in the league once again. Everyone's back. Devin Bush is healthy. Obviously, they lost Bud Dupree last year, and it hurt. But I think Alex Highsmith is ready to step in. And on the back end, they need someone to step up at opposite Joe Haden. That's kind of the spot I think you would generally pick on if you're an offense. Because it might be Justin Lane. But I don't know. 9-8. 9-8. The whole division's going 9-8.
I don't see the Steelers falling apart. You know, again, this defense is good enough to get them to a winning record. Yeah, kind of their real hopes all lie on what Ben Roethlisberger looks like in probably his last season. It really sucks that the offensive line doesn't look good, because that is not a good combination of having a quarterback in his last year that's, you know, been injured so many times in his career, throwing the ball behind a rebuilt, suspect offensive line. So if you're betting the under, I think you're just like, okay, it's over for Ben. But like you said, he's got into 9-7 with Duck. So I definitely think I don't feel like you can bet against the Steelers going under this, right?
No. If you're smart, you won't. Moving to your NFC North.
Speaking of smart teams, the Chicago Bears traded up, drafted Justin Fields. Their total is set at 7.5. They went 8-8 last year. I think this is a tough number. Like, if they went 8-8 last year, they should go at least 8-9 this year with a real quarterback, right? But I couldn't do it.
I don't know. They refused to let Justin Fields compete for the starting job.
Yes, exactly. I can't do it. I'm going to take the under. I probably wouldn't touch this at all. Like, if you believe in the Bears in any way, I guess it's a good number. I don't. I don't. I think Nagy stinks. Like you said, the confidence is just kind of what you lie on. And like, 7 wins is very attainable for the Bears. They also have like the third toughest strength of schedule, which I think plays into this. I think they go 7-10 and Nagy gets fired.
I think that's a good bet. Yeah, it seems, I mean, who knows if Justin Fields, in a lot of situations, I would say Justin Fields is starting quickly.
Yeah.
But with this staff, and like, I feel like it was unreasonable to say Andy Dalton's, like, why not have them compete? It just seems dumb.
But the offensive line's, we've seen coaches say that stuff this time of year and just flip on it.
I trust Matt Nagy to make the dumb decision.
That's true.
There's a lot of pressure on Tevin Jenkins. They moved on from both their starting tackles, and it originally looked like Tevin Jenkins was a great plug and play at right tackle. Now he's got all this pressure to be that left tackle. I know left and right is equal in theory, but like, that just means you've got inexperience at both tackle spots. The defense on paper is awesome, and it's gonna have to carry them again.
Yeah.
And unless you stick Justin Fields in early, it just doesn't feel like they're gonna be doing much. And even if you do stick Justin Fields in early, you got that offensive line issue. So yeah, I think under is the smart bet.
Moving to Detroit, their total set at 5. They went 5-11 last year. I think they've already proven that they are more competently run already. I think that's kind of obvious. But look at the roster, and they're still a 5-win team on paper. I'm taking the push, and you know, on top of that, you know, no, I'm taking the under. I'm going to take the under because they don't have Matt Stafford. So I think they'll have like a better year even though they're not going to get back to five wins in the first year under Campbell. But I still couldn't take this over. The schedule's tough for them too. Jared Goff stinks. I'm changing. Give me the under and give me them tanking.
Everything you said makes sense. I'm taking the over because if any team's going to overachieve, it's going to be the one led by Dan Campbell and the staff. I'm excited for whatever's going to happen here. Again, on paper, it's the under. In my head, it's the over.
See, like, you remember when...
I also love the offensive line.
Yeah, I love the offensive line, too. When we did the coaching hiring show, I was sour on Dan Campbell. I probably he's endeared himself more to me for sure since then, and I like their draft a lot. But it comes down to Jared Goff. Like I don't believe in Jared Goff. I think the whole time where he's just McVay's puppet. I think that was true the whole time. He got worse. Like I just
okay, just move on. You don't have to roll this guy. His I hate dead Jared body into the river. Why do you hate Jared Goff so much?
He beat us in the playoffs this year. I mean, fuck, dude.
Well, guess terrible. What? Maybe Tim Boyle will be starting. Speaking of Tim Boyle, his ex-team.
Yeah, Green Bay. There's no total for the Green Bay Packers for obvious reasons. The fact that we don't know if Aaron Rodgers will be their starting quarterback. That being said, I would like to hear what you think. I wrote it down as well. What you think their total would look like with and without Aaron Rodgers at the helm.
So I put with Rodgers 11.5, which is the same as Tampa. I think it'd be 11 or 11.5, right? Either same as Tampa or same as Buffalo.
I put 11.
And with Jordan Love, I put 6.5, which is the same as Jacksonville and the same as Philadelphia.
So I put 11 and I put without at 7.5, but I wouldn't take the over. I think, like, it's still Green Bay, you know? I think Vegas is still going to give them – like they got to the NFC Championship game last year. Dropping them that low to the Jags level, I just don't see them doing it. But I definitely think that's the ballpark for this team. And, I mean, and realistically, Aaron Rodgers is worth, what, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 5-game difference? I think that's realistic. I think that's very realistic. But, yeah, I mean – Do you think Aaron Rodgers is starting for them week one?
Yes, I do.
I do, too. I think it gets resolved. I mean, look, the Seahawks were in a similar situation, and now Russ is coming to put his arm around Pete Carroll. John Schneider's sneaking in and giving the peace sign. I think it gets resolved. It's definitely uglier, but I think it gets resolved. Lastly, in the NFC North, the Minnesota Vikings, the total is 8.5. They went 7-9 last year. I am going to take the under. They have the fifth toughest schedule. Did they get better this year? No, not really. It's still Kirk Cousins. Like, I think they're between a 7-win team and a 9-win team. But I think more has to go right for them than not to get over that 8.5. So it's, again, kind of like that confidence thing where I just don't have the trust in Kirk Cousins to put money on him having a winning record this year.
Really young offensive line that needs to mesh. A first-time play caller in Clint Kubiak. Yeah. Also, Kirk Cousins being your quarterback. A very young and inconsistent group of corners.
Yeah.
Outside of Patrick Peterson, how much does he have left in the tank? There's more questions than answers. No, 8.5. I thought it actually seemed high to me for them for it to be said at that.
Yeah, I've seen some like low key Vikings love on Twitter, and like I go listen to years past of our podcast where I'm always on the Vikings train, and it burns me and burns me and burns me. So like this year, I'm pretty sure I had the over last year, and it was around the same thing, and obviously they didn't get there. All the people on Twitter that are pumping the Viking train, I'm like, you haven't been on this ride before. They're gonna win 7 games again.
Okay, jump into the AFC South, the division to make all divisions, and starting with the Houston Texans, whose total is set at 4, the lowest in the league. I'm gonna go ahead and I'm gonna take the under, and no disrespect to David Culley, but God, he just feels like he was set up to be a scapegoat in a horrible situation. Nick Caserio signing anyone who will take like a 1-year contract. I love Tyrod Taylor. I don't know if he starts even half the season before. I mean, does Jeff Driskel get a start? Does Davis Mills get a couple? Probably. And they've got all the running backs that you would think are out of the league. Brandon Cook's a 1,000-yard receiver, though, AJ. Don't let people forget that.
Is he going to do it this year?
Like, what? Yeah. What, if you're tuning into a Texans game.
And I won't be, yeah.
What? Who are you most excited to watch? Like, I think for 99% of the league, you can point to, like, one, at least one obvious guy you're like, even for the bad teams. I mean, obviously, Jacksonville, you're like, I want to see Trevor Lawrence. Well, who's got the second lowest total? Is it the 6.5? No, the Lions at 5. But Lions. I want to see Dan Campbell coach.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
David Culley, I feel like no one knows anything about him. The Jets are at just 6. I want to see Zach Wilson. I want to see Robert Saleh. The Texans, there's like, to me, the most exciting guy to watch is Justin Reed. And I don't know that a lot of people are tuning into a game to watch Justin Reed. No offense to him. He is one of the most underrated players in the NFL. But it's like him and Laremy Tunsil. And everything else, and my guy Brandon Cooks. But there's just so little going on here. I don't know. It's just going to be punishment watching every Texans game this year.
Yeah, like the only safety, and like again, no slight to Justin Reed, but the only safety that's really getting people to tune in consistently is Daniel Sorensen, because he's a one-man show out there.
He's a ball magnet.
For sure. I mean, do you want to see old man Mark Ingram? Do you want to see booted out of Denver Philip Lindsay? I mean, generally, the player I would be most excited to see on the field is Davis Mills, just to see what the hell he's going to look like, because he's a massive question mark. Really, though, it's a terrible situation, and it's a terrible franchise. That's it.
But speaking of the opposite of terrible, the Indianapolis Colts, they're set at 10, and we know how much I love my Colts, but I'm taking the under because there's not a reason to think Carson Wentz will like. Carson Wentz has just been a bad quarterback for basically 2 years.
Yeah.
I know he gets back with Frank Reich, and the whole thought is if anyone can fix him, it's Frank Reich. And I believe that, too. I love Frank Reich. Love this team. They also, one of the most underrated kind of losses this year is Anthony Costanzo retiring. One of the most consistent left tackles in the league for a while. That offensive line's been one of the best, and obviously, like, Quentin Nelson's the guy everyone talks about, and rightfully so. But Eric Fisher's coming off a torn Achilles. He's probably not going to be ready for the start of the season. Left tackle's a big question. Carson Wentz is a big question. Those are two, like, quarterback and left tackle, generally considered two of the most important, if not the two most important positions. They've still got some questions at pass catcher, especially if they don't have a quarterback who can kind of transcend the talent around him. Defensively, I think they are going to be, as always, one of the best. I love Matt Eberflus. But I'm thinking 9-8.
Yeah, I was really, this may be the most surprising line to me, the Colts being 10 wins.
Vegas loves wins.
Like, I don't know, 9.5 even sounds a little bit, like, that 10 seems like a big number. And, like, for you to get your money, they need to win 11 games. And that definitely seems like a big hill to climb for all the reasons you just stated.
Thank you. I'm always right. Jacksonville Jaguars, 6.5. You've talked about it. This offense should probably just be good as long as Brian Schottenheimer and,
Gerald Bevel.
Other Seahawks. Thank you. As long as Bevel and Shoddy don't mess this thing up and Urban Meyer stays away, this offense should theoretically be pretty exciting to watch. 6.5 is a lot. There's a lot of young guys who are going to be playing a lot of snaps. The offensive line is one of the quietly better, or I shouldn't say better, but one of the quietly like average offensive lines. I think 7. I'm thinking 7. I guess, what is it? 7-10? 7-10. I think Trevor Lawrence can pull a couple out. They got playmakers. Travis Etienne, DJ Chark. We're hearing all this good stuff about Chenault. and they've invested in the secondary. They've got pass rusher in Josh Allen. I think they could seek out seven, especially when they get to play the Texans twice.
Yeah.
That's just five more wins outside of the Texans.
So that last point is a very strong point. Hey, but Sean and Iber wouldn't say who their starting quarterback it was, Rob. So there's a competition in Jacksonville. I don't know why these coaches. I think the coach is just like fucking with the media, probably. Anyways, yeah, I think I would take the under. It's a tough line though. It is like. I don't know. I hate Urban Meyer. I hate Urban Meyer, so I'm taking the under. I think that's what it all comes down to for me. But plus that defense is real suspect still. Like it's okay. I don't know, man. They're a bit of an enigma. I'm excited to see the Jaguars. Genuinely am. I've never said that before in my life, I don't think.
I just wish Urban Meyer wasn't the coach. Finally, the Tennessee Titans, who are set at 9.5, I think, especially acquiring Julio. This is the team to beat in the AFC South. I'm going to take the over. I think 10-7 is pretty realistic for this team. I know a new play caller, but yeah, you insert Julio next to AJ Brown, it becomes a lot more interesting. You got Derrick Henry, obviously. The offensive line's pretty set in stone.
Yeah.
You draft Dylan Raiden's to potentially start right away at right tackle. We both feel Jeffrey Simmons is ready to unlock some stuff. They signed Bud Dupree. The defense has been a big issue in years past, but like, yeah, they signed Bud Dupree. They draft Caleb Farley. They signed Janoris Jenkins. They draft Elijah Molden. On paper, the secondary is better. I think 10-7 makes a lot of sense. And they get to play the Texans twice and the Jaguars twice.
I'm surprised that the Colts have a higher total than the Tennessee Titans do.
Yeah, me too.
Especially considering the Julio trade, you figure, you know, you'd see some money coming in on the Titans and maybe some Super Bowl money, just like from the average fan. You know, Derrick Henry and Julio and A.J. Brown. So I'm surprised that the total is lower than the Colts. That's funny to me. Moving to the NFC South. This was another total I thought was surprisingly high. The Atlanta Falcons set at 7.5. They went 4-12 last year. They traded Julio. I don't know what would inspire enough confidence in a better to pick the over. Like, they consistently underperformed the Falcons since they lost the Super Bowl. Like I said, Julio's gone. That defense is not good. I don't know who's actually putting money down on the Falcons winning 8 games this year. That just doesn't make sense to me. I'm confidently taking the under.
Yeah, I'm with you. I also took the under. I mean, prior to the Julio move, I think I would have taken the over.
I would have considered it a lot more, yeah.
But that trade just said everything about how they feel entering the year.
Yeah.
They're not in win-now mode. Yeah, no, I don't know. There's too many questions defensively still. And I don't know what to expect. Like, Mike Davis is your top back, and like, there's going to be a lot on Kyle Pitts' plate.
Yeah, too much, I think. Moving to Carolina now, their total is set at 7.5. 5-11 last year under Matt Rhule. I like what Matt Rhule is building in Carolina. Can they take that 2 or 3-game leap? I think they could. I think that defense is going to be super fun. I just can't confidently bet on Sam Darnold, so I'm taking the under. Until he proves he can do it, I don't think you can bet on them winning 8 football games. Like, it's just too much. And I mean, sure, maybe he goes out in surprises, but he hasn't really shown any indication in his Jets career. And I know it's the Jets, I know it was Adam Gase, but he hasn't shown anything that would inspire any form of confidence that he can be a legit starting quarterback in the NFL.
I don't. The Darnold and Wentz, it's kind of the same thing, but even worse for Darnold because he's shown less than Wentz and is going to a less stable offense. You need Christian McCaffrey to stay healthy. They obviously have a lot of interesting playmakers. With McCaffrey, DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson, they draft Terrace Marshall. We like Joe Brady, but I don't know. And I just I love everything about this team except for Sam Darnold, and that's what stops me from thinking. Like, I don't think they're taking a big leap this year.
Yeah, I think they're going to be – I agree. I don't think the big leap is coming this year. I think they're going to be in a lot of football games like they were last year. Darnold, I'm going to bet on the other quarterback. You know what I mean? So maybe they win that extra game. They get to 6 wins. Maybe they even get to 7. You know, a couple things break the right way. But I think too many things would have to break right, or Sam Darnold would really have to emerge for them to get to 8 wins. Speaking of new quarterbacks, we go to New Orleans. Their total set at 9. Obviously, Drew Brees is whatever the hell. He's moving back to Texas. He's put out to pasture. They went 12-4 last year. I don't have a lot of confidence in the Saints, but just to get to 9-8, I'll take that. I'll take that. Like, I don't think Drew Brees looked like he's a 3 or 4 win difference maker last year. In a positive way, at least. Look at the roster. It's still really good. It's the quarterback position's a big question. But, like, just to get to 9-8 and get your money back at very worst, I like this. I'll take the over.
Damn. So you think 10-7 then?
Sure. Yeah. I think 9-8 or 10-7. Yeah.
Okay. I'll take the push. Assuming Jameis is the starter. If it's not Jameis, I would take
the I over. Agree with you. But
I mean, you're right, because Drew Brees wasn't like, he wasn't putting the team on his back or anything last year. The vast majority of the roster is back. The coaching staff is essentially back. On paper, this could be a team fighting for a 7 or 6 seed in the playoffs. And as long as Jameis isn't throwing 30 interceptions, like, Jameis is a more palatable quarterback than a lot of dudes in the league.
Yeah, I think it really just comes down to...
I love Jameis.
I think it just comes down to them turning the ball over. And, like, that's it. If they don't turn the ball over too much, I think they're getting to this number. That's pretty much it.
Okay, fair.
And to the defending Super Bowl champs, Tampa Bay Buccaneers, their total is set at 11.5. They bring everyone back. They won 11 games last year. They have the 4th easiest schedule in the league somehow. 12-5 seems super manageable for this Bucs team. I mean, I'm taking the over. If I'm being completely honest, I don't love this. I probably wouldn't touch this. But it just doesn't make sense to pick the under. Like, what reason would you... Like, you're just saying, oh, Tom Brady's old, he's going to regress. There's absolutely no reason to think that they're not... They don't win that 17th game, basically. Like, you know what I mean? Especially with an easy schedule.
Their biggest concerns last year were specifically consistency out of the running game. Leonard Fournette was a lot better down the stretch.
Playoff Lenny, yep.
And they brought in Gio Bernard, who I think is, like, the perfect back to be here with Brady. And more of, like, that Mr. Consistent, yes, yep. Like... If you're going to trust someone to lean on when the running game's out there, like, Gio Bernard is trustworthy and great in pass protection. And that's a big, big plus. And like you said, everyone's back. I mean, there's no reason that they shouldn't win 12.
Now, yeah, I do have a – maybe this is a weird take, and I kind of felt it last year, especially when they turned it on, won the Super Bowl. I can see them being, like, not a regular season team and, like, kind of just – Like we see in the NBA, where some teams, you know, just slow play it, and it's different in the NBA with load management and stuff. And I don't think we're going to see Kyle Trask in there for like week 8 because Brady's tired. But I think I can kind of see them being like, you know, just play it out a little bit and then strike. Just make sure they get to the playoffs and then strike. But regardless, I think that's way too much of a risk to take on them being under 11.5.
My final division, the AFC West, the AFC best. Starting with the Denver Broncos, who have a high total 8.5. Defense should be pretty damn good. Big fan. Everything's in place for this team to hit the over, except for the most important position, and that would be quarterback. If Drew Lock is starting by week 7, I'll be surprised. I think it's Teddy Bridgewater's job by the end of the season. And I don't mean that because I think Teddy's carrying them to over 8.5 wins. Quarterback remains the blatant question, and like I don't know, you can't justify taking like 9-8's a lot for a team led by Drew Lock and a team or quarterback who a team chose Sam Darnold over. So
yeah,
I think seven is their seven, maybe 8 wins.
Agreed. I agree with you.
Kansas City Chiefs, 12.5. I mean, I just logically have to take the over.
Agreed. Yeah, it's like
they get to play the Broncos and the Raiders twice.
Do they get better?
Yes. The offensive line went from being their biggest question to one of the best and deepest in the league, even with Kyle Long hurt. Like, what they did, every GM should take notes. Invest in the offensive line if it's an issue. And a benefactor of that is not only Patrick Mahomes, but Clyde Edwards-Helaire should have a more consistent role in year two and be a more impactful runner. Obviously, finding that number three pass catcher after Tyreek Hill and Travis Kelce is a big if, and we touched on Mecole Hardman last week, and I think he'll do it. And the other thing is seeing some guys in that secondary step up, specifically at corner. Because pretty clearly, after Legarius Sneed, there's not a definite dude you trust, and that's another big question. But like, I think Nick Bolton is going to solidify the linebackers too, and him and Willie Gay are going to take over there. Like, I don't know. I'm pretty excited about the direction this Chiefs team that's already amazing is going.
It's so crazy seeing what the Chiefs did to absolutely rebuild this offensive line in one offseason. When you look around the league and there's just teams that have had terrible, terrible offensive lines for what feels like a decade now. And I'm not going to name names, but some teams have had really bad offensive lines for a very long time. And the Chiefs had, like, the offensive line played one bad game and they're like, fuck it, we got to rebuild. And they did it amazingly.
And speaking of offensive lines, this team used to have a good one and then they destroyed it. The Las Vegas Raiders, whose total is 7, and I'll take the push because it would be very Gruden-y to have some flashes in the pan for maybe a 2-game stretch. Maybe they upset the Chiefs one time. And they go 7-10, and everyone's like, God, this is awful. But Mark Davis thinks to himself, we're trending in the right direction as the toil and mediocrity behind Derek Carr and John Gruden and Mike Mayock's bizarro world drafts. Their draft didn't make me feel any better about them. There's... Outside of our guy, Max Crosby, and our other guy, Darren Waller, who we had always said when he was at Georgia Tech he would become an all-pro tight end. Like, outside of those two guys, I don't love anyone. I'm really excited to see Trevon Moehrig play a lot. And they did add Yannick Ngakoue. But, like, I don't know. Like, their draft approach and just everything about this team, like, the way that, like, they paid Kenyon Drake, everything they do
seems just scratching. I'm kind of fond of this Raiders team because, like, they're so mediocre and it feels right. I don't know why, but it just does. I guess it's better than the Raiders being one of the worst teams in the league every year. I don't know. It just all feels right with John Gruden going 7-10. I kind of secretly love it, Rob.
Finally. The Los Angeles Chargers, who are set at 9. Obviously, new coaching staff comes in. I'm going to take the push purely because Justin Herbert looked like a soon-to-be, if not already, top 10 quarterback as a rookie, giving us the best rookie quarterback season all time. They got Rashawn Slater in the first round to step in at left tackle. Mike Williams and Keenan Allen are going to be healthy. Austin Eckler's going to be healthy. Defensively, you trust that, again, as long as Joey Bosa staying healthy is a big, big need here, no doubt. But you trust that Brandon Staley's going to get them, and Derwin James for that matter. They've got a guy on each level who needs to stay healthy, and if he does, I think Brandon Staley's going to have a field day with, and that's Joey Bosa, Derwin James, and my guy.
If they hired an offensive-minded coach, would you have taken the over? Say Dable or Bieniemy, who would they have hired? To give two names.
Um,
I'm just asking, is it Staley that, I know we love the Chargers, so I'm just asking, is it Staley that gives you a slight pause?
Like, I don't love to hire Joe Lombardi as your OC, but I don't know.
No, no more tough questions. Let's move to the NFC West.
Now I'm flustered.
Honestly, four tough numbers here, and we'll start with the Arizona Cardinals, who set at 8.5. They went 8-8 last year. And I think I'll just keep taking the under until they prove they can get over it. I think that's just kind of how this team feels like right now. And on paper, they really should be able to get to 9-8. And if they don't, I probably think Cliff Kingsbury should be heading back to West Texas. But they didn't really make any needle-moving moves in the offseason. Really any? Like, I don't know. I just think they got to prove it before you buy it.
We talked about Zach Taylor potentially being fired. Cliff Kingsbury might be the first guy fired. Again, it's a really unique situation where, like, he banged the table for Kyler Murray, and that all happened. So, it makes you think maybe not. But he hasn't done anything to prove.
Yeah, I think this is the year where the Bidwells are like, okay, you gotta, like, it's a tough division, and probably the toughest division in football. But,
and like,
we need to see a little bit more from you this year. Moving to LA, who flashed in the playoffs a bit. Won 10 games last year. Their total set at 10 again. I'm going to take the over.
Did it change? I got them at 9.
Did you?
I don't know.
I did mine last night.
It was 9 earlier today.
Okay. I'll check right now.
Wow, I'll fill time. Guys, they brought in Duck Hodges?
So, I mean, look, they brought in Matt Stafford. Jared Goff. No, it's 10. It's still 10. Jared Goff.
Okay. No, it was 9 this afternoon.
Yeah, they saw him. They didn't see me choose the over bit last night. And then they noticed. 10.
Are the 49ers 9 or 10?
Yeah. Anyway, sorry.
Okay, I got that right.
So, yeah, they went 10-6 last year. Matt Stafford is a game better than Jared Goff for sure. Plus, he's got that extra game to prove it. Speaking of Brandon Staley, losing him so quickly hurts. They had a stinky draft. But this year they're not moving backwards. They're definitely getting back to 10, and the bonus game they're going to win. So I think 11 games is very attainable for the Rams. Do they win the division? Possibly. They might be the best team in the division. It's going to be a crazy year in the NFC West, I think. But I think 10 is an easy, not maybe not an easy, but it's a number you can confidently bet over.
Yeah, I mean, one of the they lose Brandon Staley, but defensively, they have all the tools to be one of the best in the league. Once again, I mean, Aaron Donald's defensive player of the year pretty much every year. You bring in Stafford into, considering what McVay did with Jared Goff. You mentioned him being the puppet earlier, like giving him a legitimate Pro Bowl quarterback. I'm so excited to see what happens when you can marry the genius play caller with that the talented quarterback. I think it's a fair bet to. I was actually shocked that they weren't just naturally the high. Well, I had my win total wrong, but I'm surprised.
Yeah, it's shocking that the Niners are at 10, and we'll just roll right to them because, I was ready to take the over before I saw the number. Like they lost more to injury last year than like any other team in history. They're adding Trey Lance. And then I saw that number of 10. Like, I don't know how you can bank on that. Like, yeah, they're obviously going to be healthier. You can't have that bad injury luck as you did last year again. But 10 is a lot. And, like, I'm not saying that they can't get back to being a double-digit win team. We've seen them there. It's just not something you can bet on. I mean, also, you know what? The under is also plus 100. So you're getting money to take the under. So from a purely gambling point of view, I think that's a good pick. Okay, I wasn't sure if you agreed or not. Yeah. Pick.
No. Like, okay, how
That's a good long question. I think we see him before week four, week five.
And if it's after, like, let's say Jimmy, in this bizarro world, let's say Jimmy starts the whole season.
9-8, 8-9, just 7-10, in those three games, yeah. Sure.
Okay, and if Trey Lance comes in, you said week four?
Probably about the same thing. And that doesn't mean I don't love Trey Lance. It's just he's a rookie quarterback stepping up into the toughest division in football.
Yeah, exactly. And exactly. No. I'm with you. I think 10's a crazy number to set it at for a team that's either starting, I think by most accounts, a below average quarterback or a rookie. And no offense to Nate Sudfeld, but I don't think he's getting his shot this year. But
yeah,
if they're healthy on defense, yeah, they're going to scrap out a couple games. But 10's just so, like, I think 8, 8.5 in my head would have made sense. And even then, that's like,
yeah, I don't and know, like, the quarterback are they two deal. Games better than the Washington football team? Is the defense two games better than the Washington football team? I don't know. Like obviously, I trust Shanny more, to win like games via the offense, and I love Trey Lance, but he's a rookie. I mean, yeah.
It's just strange. It's just way too.
Yeah, I think them.
I thought that was maybe the most surprising.
Yeah, I think them. I was gonna say the Colts.
The Colts and the Patriots.
Something that's not surprising. Vegas is down in the Seattle Seahawks again. Their total set at 9.5. I think it was like the same thing last year. Look at the secondary; it's kind of spooky with Shaquem Griffin gone. Shaquille Griffin gone. But the pass rush is better. The offense is an enigma, I guess, because we saw the quality of it on two complete opposite ends of the spectrum last year, where they're letting Russ cook and then it completely fell apart. Now Shane Waldron comes in, who hasn't called plays before. But I have high hopes. Everything sounds good so far. I think the offense will be better start to finish, more consistent this year. I like the 9.5. I'm taking the over.
I'm also taking the over. I think
It's tough in the NFC West, but like, I don't understand how the Seahawks are 9.5 and the Niners are 10.
Yeah, that's my main thought. No. Like 9.5 isn't a terrible number by any means to stick beside the Seahawks, but when you have it in the context that the 49ers are at 10, that seems weird. Especially when my boy DS Scridge representing the Mac is gonna set the rookie.
But it's just funny record. Looking at a. Go ahead, yeah, sorry.
Our Hawks signed Michael.
Yeah, the special teams is back, baby. They had like the second best or best special teams in the league last year.
No, like
they
didn't get worse.
Griffin is the loss, but the pass rush is better, so maybe it evens out a little bit. And I think the offense is better. You know, another year with DK, the offensive line is better. Bring in Gabe Jackson.
Yeah,
everyone's back in the backfield. Russ, I don't know. Like, maybe that's some of the. I don't think you can even consider that though. But it's funny looking at San Fran total being 10. They won 6 games last year. The Seahawks won 12, and their total set at 9. Like 9.5. That's just it's very strange logic. Like, if you want to say that because they're in the NFC West, you take half a game off or a game off the total. Compared I get that, Seahawks, yeah. But comparing that to the Niners is weird.
And you know what else is weird, AJ? No more filler pods. It was a great time for us. But starting next week, we're finally into our NFL summer scouting series with the non-FBS players. And then into the divisions. And by divisions, I mean conferences. And we're all going to have so much fun and watch a bunch of guys who are bad at football. And then talk about it.